Welcome to Leadership Moments with Justin Manzi, where we want to see leaders equipped and empowered.
It's great to be with you here today. I'm so excited to be able to share on the generosity of who God is. And as we talk about a season of generosity, I want you to know that generosity transforms lives. It transforms hearts. It transforms destiny. You know, so as we talk about this today, I want to talk about how generosity is both a attitude and actions. So how we respond in our attitude and how we act out of generosity is what brings it its strength. So let me start with a story. Back in 1988, I had been saved for just a year, and I had been going to university at the time, and I came home for a break, and at that time, I remember a friend called me and said, "Hey, let's go to the movies." And on my way to the movies, I saw this little church that I had never been to before. It was one of those Pentecostal charismatic churches. And so as we were getting ready, it was right next to the movie theater. And as we were getting ready to go to the end of the movie theater, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, "I have something for you tonight." I was like, "Whoa, where's that coming from?" And all of a sudden I just said, "Lord, is that you?" And I heard the Holy Spirit say, "I have something for you tonight." And all of a sudden my eyes went over to that little church on the corner, and the Lord said, "It's in that place." And I'm like, "I'm not going to that place. First of all, I'm with a friend who's not a Christian, and we're going to the movies. We're about to go in. It's late. I don't even know if it was a Sunday night, so I knew they were having a service there because it said it right on the outside of the sign. But I was like, "Oh, I don't know if I, what am I going to tell my friend right now? We're about to go into the movie. The service looks like it started already based on the time." But something came over me so strong, and it was like pulling me, "I have something for you tonight in that place." So I said to my friend, "Hey, instead of going to the movie, do you want to go to church tonight?" And my friend said, that church? Isn't that where all the crazy wild things go happen?" I said, "Yeah, probably, but maybe it'll be entertaining." So my friend said, "Yeah, okay." So we snuck into this little church, sat in the very back row. And there was a missionary speaking there that night, and it was one of those stories that he was talking about what's happening in the mission field, and it was quite, I'm going to be honest, it was a little bit boring. It was the old slideshow with the projector, the sliding, and going back and forth. And in that moment, I'm like, "Lord, are you calling me to be a missionary?" You know, and my friend is about to fall asleep. I'm looking about the crowd and that's there, and they all look like they're about to fall asleep. And then I'm wondering, what am I doing here? Lord, this is what you have for me? And they were about to close the service. And I remember this so clearly. We're in the back of the very back of the church, and the pastor's wife gets up and says, "Oh my goodness, the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit is here tonight. God's about to do something. God's about to move." And I'm going to tell you what, she started to shake that place up. She called the worship team to come on up. She said, "Come on, people. Come on, saints. Begin to pray. Begin to pray." And she was so excited. And the excitement started to stir up in this room. And I elbowed my friend and I said, I think I'm going to go down there. I'm going to go down to the front." And my friend immediately stood up, went down the center aisle, went down right to the altar, and people just came from out of nowhere and started praying for my friend. And my friend got radically saved that night in this church. Now, the funny thing is, kind of a sidebar of this evening, after this night was over, I said to my friend, "What were you thinking? Why would you do that?" And my friend said, "Well, I don't know. You elbowed me and said, it's time for you to go down there now." And I said, "No, that's not what I said. I said, it's time for me to go down there." My friend got radically saved and is still saved to this day because of that one little being obedient to go into that building. But I went down the side aisle because I saw what happens when you go down the center one. I went down the side aisle and I knelt down and I said, "God, I don't know why you told me to come here tonight. But you said you had something for me, and I just come and I want to receive. Now, I want you to know that just prior to this, even though I was going to Northern State University at the time, I had felt God call me to go into ministry, but I really didn't know what that meant, and I didn't know what that looked like, and people said, you need to go to Bible college, and I didn't know anything about Bible colleges at the time, and I had a pastor who gave me five of the top Bible colleges in the United States at the time, and I wrote all five of them, and I just said, Lord, the one that comes back first, let that be the one I think you want me to go to. Kind of a silly prayer for a new Christian, but that's what I did, and the first one that came back was Christ for the Nations in Dallas, Texas, and you know, I just felt like I wrote them, I filled out the application, got accepted, but I had no money. It was one of those schools that you can't get a loan, and I didn't have the finances in my life to do that. My family didn't have the finances to be able to do something like that, and so I thought, well, I don't have the finances, and so I guess I'll wait till I get the finances, and I'll work, and wait till I can go there, but here I am, and I go into this little church now, and I'm kneeling at the altar, and I'm saying, Lord, well, I don't know what you have for me, but here I am, and immediately I got a vision where Jesus was standing like on basically a side of a cliff, and his feet were at my eye level, and he was kind of standing on the little cleft of a rock, and he's looking down at me, and he doesn't say anything with his mouth, but with his eyes, he looks deeply into my eyes, and he says, are you willing to climb this? And I looked at this face of a cliff, this mountain, I'm like, oh, that's, immediately he said, that's impossible to climb. And he said, that's right, it is impossible for you to climb. And then he put out his hand and he said, but with me, all things are possible. And is in my vision, as having this vision, and I grabbed his hand, and immediately when I grabbed his hand, I felt the sense of God's presence and power come over me, where I just heard this resounding voice that said, I have called you, I have called you, I have called you. And immediately I got this vision where I was standing in this church, and it was like as if I was watching a movie. I was standing in this church. I could describe the church completely what it looked like, from the pulpit to the walls to everything. I saw it so vividly as though I was standing in this building, and I was saying three words. I was saying, repent, refresh, restore. Repent, refresh, restore. Well, not realizing, but in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, it says, repent that your sins be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the heavens, hold back Christ until the restoration of all things. And so, but I kept saying that, those three words over and over in this vision. And as I looked out over the people, I could see they were hurt and angry, and there was despair and fear. And then immediately I came out of that vision, and I was probably at that altar for, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes or so. And as I got up, I began to walk towards the center of the aisle of the church. A man approached me, and he said, my name is Ron Padgett. Just want to ask you what your name is. And I said, oh, my name's Justin. And he said, what are you doing here tonight? I've never seen you before. I said, yeah, I've never been here before. I don't know anybody. I just came in and felt like God said he had something for me. And he said, well, what did God say? And I said, I felt embarrassed. I felt embarrassed to say, well, I feel like I'm called into the ministry. but he said, well, what did the Lord say? I said, well, I feel like he said I was called into the ministry. And I don't know, who knows, but I feel like I'm supposed to go to Bible school, and feel like he confirmed that tonight. And he said, well, how are you going to pay for it? I said, I don't know. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust that he's going to provide. And man, this man just got tears in his eyes, started rolling down his cheeks. And he says, well, 10 years ago, I graduated from Bible school. And I asked the Lord if I was called into ministry. And he said, you're called into a ministry of giving. And he said, I was sitting in my seat tonight, and I saw you go up to the altar, and I thought nothing of it. I said, I said to myself, I don't know that guy. I don't know what he's doing here. And he said, I felt like as if somebody tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked, and there was nobody there, and I felt it a second time. Then I felt it a third time, and all of a sudden, I just said to the Lord, are you trying to get my attention? And he said, the Lord spoke to me, And he said, remember what I told you, that I've called you into a ministry of giving, to be generous. He said, yes, Lord. And he said, well, there's your first one. He's up at the altar right now. Young man, do you know what I'm trying to tell you? I said, no, I don't think so. And he said, if God's called you into the ministry and you know where to go to Bible school, I'm going to pay for all of it. I looked at him and I said, I don't know you. And he said, that's okay. You just have to receive. Man, I immediately fell down, literally, on my hands and knees and began to weep because I didn't think that was even possible to receive something like that in my life at that time. Well, I want to tell you that all my Bible school was paid for. And I remember a few years after that, going up to this man and being very thankful for this investment that he gave me to somebody that he didn't even know. And he was faithful to pay for every single year, every semester. I said, I'm so thankful. He said, I want you to know that night when I said I was going to do that, I did not have the money to do it. I did it by complete faith. In fact, my business was so bad at the time, I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I have no money to do this. But the Lord specifically told me to do that, that that was going to start my ministry of giving. And every semester I would pray, God, how am I going to do this? And God would give me strategy in my business on how to make money for that semester to pay for your schooling. And I did that every single semester. And every single semester and every year, it all came in. He said, I did that out of obedience, but I did it out of faith. Now, I want you to see that generosity activates our obedience and our faith. Now, what if I had not been obedient that night and I had just said, oh, that's not God. Why would he have me go to this little church I've never been to? But that night, my friend got saved. That night, because of obedience, I experienced generosity in ways I didn't even know were possible. But I want to fast forward now. Because from that moment, 24 years later, 2012, I had been to the Philippines probably 6 times into another area of the Philippines, but I'd never been to Baguio and Bazac, where we were going. I'd never been to that part of the Philippines. So it was my first time going to this conference to be speaking in this area of the Philippines. And we stayed in the orphanage, and I'm getting ready to speak at the pastor's conference the following day. I'm getting ready. I had a message I was already going to speak. I was so excited to speak that message. And in my day of preparation of getting ready, the Lord says, no, that's not what you're speaking on tonight. Tonight you're going to be speaking on repentance, refreshing, restoration. And you're going to bring a word to these pastors and leaders. And I'm like, Lord, I can't do this. This is too harsh of a thing to do right now. They don't know me. I have to come in there. They have to build this trust. Like, you want me to come in there and say, repent, you know, refreshing and restoration. But here's where you need to repent. There's some division. Like, he gave me a pretty strong word for this group of pastors. So I'm like, oh, Lord, I actually was shaking going, Lord, how am I going to do this? And man, I'm going to have to come with such a way of delivering this that they'll receive it. And so I go into this building that next night, because we stayed overnight. I walked in there, and as soon as I walked into that church building, as soon as I walked into it, I looked at it and it brought me back 24 years early, 1988, that vision that I had, that was the church. That was the actual building I was standing in that night. And I mean, even the decor, the pulpit, everything was as exactly how I saw it in that time. Now, what's interesting about that is I said, as I stood there, I was almost like shaking a little bit going, I've been here before in a vision 24 years prior. And I said, the only thing that's missing is there should be 2 half pews, one right here and one over there. And somebody said, hey, we just removed those just a couple years ago, but they would have been there for years and years and years. And I said, well, then bring them back up here because they're supposed to be here. And but that was my actual vision that I had. And so I told them that. And that got their attention, got my attention. And I shared a very strong word. The presence of God came down that night in a way that has been rarely experienced at a pastor's conference I've ever done. It was powerful, so powerful. But here's what's interesting, and I find this amazing. That church building was sponsored and paid for by Christ for the Nations. I found that out later that time I was there. I'm telling you, generosity activates faith. It activates our obedience so that we can experience God's presence. So, I mean, this is an amazing story to me. I every time I think about it, I'm like, God, how could that be orchestrated so well? But what if that night I wasn't obedient to walk into that church building? I would have never experienced God's generosity. Man, I've had some great moments of those times of being obedient, stepping out in faith, and reaping the reward of generosity. Generosity transforms our attitude and our actions. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Now, I want to make sure that we, when we talk about generosity, that it is more than just giving of finances. It's giving of our time, of our talents, and yes, our finances. But I want you to know that this is more about our attitude around generosity and our actions around generosity. So what hinders? What hinders generosity? Well, one hindrance is actually is a scarcity mentality. A scarcity mentality is actually rooted in the idea that I will not have enough. And what that is rooted in is that I don't believe God's going to be there for me tomorrow. That I don't know that God's going to be there to be my provider for my future. So a scarcity mentality actually goes directly to, I don't know if I trust God will be there for me for tomorrow. That hinders generosity. Also, what hinders generosity is a selfish attitude. A selfish attitude actually comes down to, I believe, that selfishness is a spirit. And it's interesting because Jesus, right before he starts his ministry, yes, he had been baptized. He comes up out of the water. The Holy Spirit tells him to go into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he was tempted in three areas. And the Satan said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God and you are hungry, speak to this rock and turn it into bread so you can eat. Basically, what Satan was doing is he was tempting him with a spirit of selfishness to say, if you are, speaks to identity, if you are the Son of God, then speak to that rock. Make it happen. Your provision, what Satan was saying is your provision is completely on you. And you cannot trust God. So you can only trust your own abilities and your own hand. So speak to the rock. Prove your identity. Wow. That moment, I believe with all of my heart, Jesus was tempted by a spirit of selfishness to say, God's not going to be there for you. He's not going to provide. But this is what Jesus said. He responded, I'm not going to be challenged by your words. I trust in the words of my Father. I trust him. So we can see that selfishness is something that is a part of every human nature. It's part of our, you don't have to teach someone to be selfish. We have to teach people to share. So it is actually a spiritual thing. Selfishness is a spiritual thing. So we have to address it as a spiritual thing. We also realize that another hindrance to generosity is actually bad experiences. Bad experiences. I remember growing up that when my stepfather in his 40s, he experienced bankruptcy. And then both of his brothers experienced bankruptcy. And even in my brothers and sisters, they've gone and they've experienced measures where they've lost everything and went through that same thing. And I remember those experiences being very real. I remember very clearly what that was like in that time. And there are times that even today that I'll be laying in bed and I want to step out and do what God's called me to do. That spirit of that bad experience, almost a scarcity mentality, comes over me and says, you're not going to have enough. You're not going to have enough. To the point where I start sweating as I'm laying in bed. I'm start to sweat and I get up and I'm like, okay, I got to deal with this. It's very real. And because of my experiences, I'm not sure if I'm going to get the provision. We can all tend to either become scarcity with a scarcity mentality, or we can start to hoard things because we may not have enough. But these are real hindrances to generosity. So how do we deal with those things? How do we allow generosity to transform my attitude and my actions? Well, number one, we speak the word of God over our mind. Now, a lot of times when we read the Bible, we'll read it and we just kind of read it in our head. I think it's actually important. It says to meditate on the word of God. It means to meditate means to murmur. And so when you murmur it, you're actually speaking out loud so your ears can hear it. So your brain, it actually begins to rewire your brain. So I do believe that when we read the word of God, it is good to read it out loud so you hear it. And so we speak the word of God over our mind. And that's what we do. We meditate on it. We murmur it. When I sense where fear is coming or this scarcity mentality of like, well, what if? I begin to say, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness and all these other things will be added onto me. I begin to quote verses. I speak them out to tell my mind and even to come from my spirit. I'm actually allowing at that moment for my spirit to tell my mind, come into order. You need to hear this truth. You can trust God. You can trust him. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Acknowledge him and he will guide and direct your footsteps. You have to speak that. Number two, Believe that I can truly trust God, that he is my provider for today and tomorrow. I have to declare that. Some of you need to declare that even right now. Declare that I trust that God will be my provider today and tomorrow. Number three, to be mindful of others. To be mindful of others. To be generous is to be mindful. And to be mindful is to be aware of people and needs around you. To be mindful that they may need encouragement. To be mindful that they may actually have a need that is going to be met. It is important for us as a church and a community to be mindful of what's happening in our community. It is important to be mindful of what's happening in other places right now, in other churches and other communities, to be mindful. And number four, to share. Share what has been given to you. I really believe it's the moment you begin to share and I begin to share, it breaks a spirit of selfishness over us. so we can then activate our ministry of giving. Our ministry of giving is also giving of our time, our giftings, our talents, our finances, but it's an attitude and an action. One of these areas that I do believe that we can have opportunity to do that in is investing into other local churches. Yeah, I have some stats here that right now out of 8,000 churches polled in North America, that 640 churches are going to close their doors out of those 8,000. I mean, the stats are right now is just in Canada, they're looking at closing close to 9,000 churches over the next 3 to possibly 5 years, but the next 3 years. They're saying 5,000 churches will close in Canada in this next year because of what's happening right now. I know personally pastors that are struggling right now. I know them personally, and they're wanting to give up and say, I'm done. I am so done. I can't do this anymore. And in ever-changing obstacles of change and all that's been happening, man, there's some churches that we could invest our time, our talents, and even our finances in this season as a church to be able to come alongside. And why is that important? Because those churches represent a group of people that are called to reach out to that community and to bring hope and to bring truth and to bring life. And it's about investing into people. And so we have churches right now that if they close their doors, we're losing a group of people that are called to that community, to reach that community. And for such a time as this, we have the opportunity to be able to reach out and invest into these local churches, into these local leaders to say, hey, you're not alone. We're standing with you. We're going to be generous in our actions and invest. I love the opportunity that we get to invest into the kingdom of God. And that means we're investing into people. And I want you to know, generosity brings forth a harvest. It brings forth a harvest. You know, we can expect a harvest. And when we say that word harvest, what does that mean? I mean, it's easy in Christianese to say that word, but harvest simply means you're going to produce something. And do you know that when you produce a harvest, you are producing, I love this, it says, generosity actually produces a joy and a contentment in us. In fact, in some studies, it shows that when you are a generous person, it actually activates and releases endorphins in your brain that comes into your body and actually strengthens your immune system. So I guess when they say it's better to give than receive, it's actually maybe a little bit of a medical term as well. Because it, as you give, it actually does something in your body. It releases those endorphins, those chemicals to come into your body and strengthen your immune system. I mean, the scriptures tell us that we are to expect a harvest of generosity. So the action step to be able to activate that is really about expecting a harvest of joy, expecting a harvest of contentment. It is expecting that when you harvest from giving and being generous, that it's going to transform the way that you think, the way that you feel, and the way that you act. God is calling us to be a generous people, to share what we've been given with others. Jesus chose to be unselfish. He was generous with everything that he had. Generous to the point where he gave his life a ransom for us. Generous in a way that he gave us the opportunity to receive salvation and eternal life. I mean, this is a generosity that nothing can come that's stronger than this type of generosity, to give one's own life. And Jesus was generous to the point where he died on the cross to forgive us of our sins and wash us and make us clean and give us a future, but to be generous. If you're here today, I would love to give you the opportunity to take a moment and to receive this generous gift of salvation by simply saying, Jesus, I recognize that I need you. Jesus, I ask you to please forgive me. And I ask you to come into my life and begin to transform me by your Spirit. Jesus, I call on your name. Save me today. If you prayed that today, I want to encourage you to begin to experience the love of God by simply opening up and say, I receive your love, Jesus. Transform me.